area right now is paper mills. That's been its driving force for, oh goodness, 100 years now. That's kind of dying off because of recycling and that type of thing. But there's still paper mills still there, and right now, I'd be honest with you, it's welfare. welfare and drugs right now.
So is it a logging area?
It's a largely
timbered area?
Largely timbered. And they would float down the Moisey River, what divides our town in half. They would float all the timber down. And the guys that would be on those timbers were called drivers. They'd drive out. And they'd run those timbers all the way down the river, through the rapids, all the way through, down to Trois-Rivières, and then they make the pulp out of it down there. Walking on it. They make pallets, you know, hook and bind them all together. And they have those competitions with all. They do all that stuff. The loggers, they're pretty sharp, pretty tough men.
I was wondering also, Brother Jason, in where you are, is there a most common objection to Christianity? What would people say, what are their reasons for rejecting the gospel?
Atheism, humanism, they're very very cold to the gospel. And the biggest reason is because of the influence the Catholics had on them. The Catholic priests dominated every aspect of their life up through the 1960s. And in fact, they determined how many kids you'd come in. If you were having kids anymore, they would force you to have, you know, come in here, you got to have more kids. And the men began to grab the priest by the collar and throw them out of their houses. After their wives having 16, 15, 16, 17 kids. And they said, why don't you have any more kids? Because they wanted a Catholic population. And so the people rebelled against it. And that rebellion has continued on since the 60s. Of course, the flower movement and all that rebellion, the feminist movement, all that just continued, just jumped right in there with it. And so today, to this day, they'll be non-practicing Catholics. So what they'll do, they'll get the baptism, the confirmation, but that's it. And then they don't go to church. And they will say, I'm an atheist, but I'm a Catholic. I said, how is that even... Now, that's an oxymoron, but you know, really it's not, because it's the same father. Yeah, that's right. That's right. They're selling all the Catholic building churches, all those big Catholic churches. There's a few of them still open, but they're selling them off, making apartments, cinemas out of them, all that type of thing. So it's very, right now, it's very anti-God. And they call it une société laïque, which is a layman society. They don't want anything to do with God, anything to do with religion in society. Secular, that's the word. Thank you. Secular. Says society. So it's very knocking on doors. You can knock on doors, but now at Walmart they buy stickers. No door knockers, no Jehovah's Witness. I think we're all Jehovah's Witness. But you know, they're very adamant about it, you know, when you try to go knocking on doors and talking to people. So it's very tough. Very tough society. So we think out of the box thinking to work up there. So I appreciate it. I was taking notes this morning. I might give a basket to everybody in town. Hey, there you go. Amen. I hope that answers your question.
Ewing, Stanley, how's things? Have you retired?
No, I've not retired.
How many years have you been there?
It's coming up in May, 25 years. 25. We've actually been living in Indonesia.
What's it like now compared to when you went there?
I believe in some ways they're becoming more open to the gospel. We have better opportunities than when we first arrived. For 24 years, our visa has been a professor of theology. The government, I won't get into all the details on that, but they've done away with the professor of theology visa. And so it looked like we were not going to be able to get back in the country. But because the government offices, they make a lot of money from doing the paperwork for the foreigners, they themselves begin to complain to the president, and so now they are given the opportunity for a Pembina Rohani, which means a spiritual leadership visa. We'll not be able to teach in our Bible college. We can work as an advisor, a spiritual advisor, but we will have liberty to preach in the churches and minister in the churches, even though it'll limit us somewhat in the Bible school. But we will be going back, the Lord willing, leaving the States around December the 1st, just 2 months, less than 2 months.
God bless you, man.
I'm interested to know, Mr. Hamby, just exactly how do you approach the children to just to come visit you, or how do you capture the children's attention if the parents are really not for the religion?
That's a good question. What we found out, a lot of them, we have a VBS now. It's one of our biggest highlights of the year is our VBS, and I open it up to the whole family. We divide up all the classes and stuff. Now I bring everybody in, we do everything together, and the parents get to come, and then the parents are learning the verses, and it's really neat because they want to see their kids learn English. That's one thing. And so they think because we're American, you know, we're going to teach them English, which we're trying to learn French. But English is one of the ways. But the VBS has been a big help. And in our neighborhood, it really is that. We had a high this year, 29 kids. And we had just kids. That was just kids. That's not counting the parents. Across the street, the neighbors. And I'm trying to say this the best way possible. You know the word redneck we use up, you know, down here? We have them up there too. Okay. And it just means they're just good old country folk. And I found out a lot of them are very ignorant to, they've been said one thing by the priest, you know, this is what it is with, you know, religion, and then their parents are, stay away from that. But when they get to know us, like he said, we build relationships with them. That to me is the key now. We don't shove the gospel down through, but then the whole week they're learning scriptures, and they're learning the songs, and then their kids, I love this part, we sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They're going through the grocery stores with their kids, and they're singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah in the grocery stores, and the parents are ducking behind them. but though that really, I think when you win their kids, it wins their heart. You know, it really touches them because they love their children. Their children are their idols up there. Oh yeah, our neighbor across the street, she wouldn't even wave at me. But our VBS, she started coming to church. 87 years old, she comes to our VBS every year. And was part of it, helping. In the first year, she would actually sit there and participate in the crafts and all of it, just like one of the kids. Loved it. And she made a profession of faith before she moved away recently to an old folks home, I guess a nursing home. And so even our neighbors, the older ones, are even coming to VBS now. So I got to figure out a way to name to call this thing. Can't be, I guess it's still a big vacation year's Bible school. So the children are very, very easily touched, and they just want love. There's a lot of abuse happens up there because of the alcoholism. And so my wife, she's taken courses to help children and help the wives, help the mothers. And that's been a door, too, to be able to reach into these families. So.
All right, just another question or two, if you got that.
I was wondering if each of you could just briefly give a practical piece of advice for the young people here in the church, maybe those who are in high school or getting ready to graduate, who may have a burden for missions, but they're not sure what steps they can take to start following the Lord's will for that. So,
for me, as a missionary kid, it was a little different, but my wife, being exposed to missionaries. And I guess for me too, being exposed to missionaries, just letting the Lord lead you, and then having godly men around that you could talk to and sit down with. And Amanda had her pastor and his wife and Brother Couch and other missionaries she could sit down and talk to. And then as your pastor leads you, you know, to maybe a mission. I know we support Macedonia and other boards here, but the boards that are helping that. And they listen, even if you don't decide to join that board, just talking to them, going down to the office and sitting down with them. That's something we found out. Miss Lori got to go missions trip. I think missions trips and that type of thing really helps too. And just sitting down with the men and women down there that have been in it, in the battle for many years. So.
I was going to mention the mission trips. We have two. Amanda and Lori came from your church. We took them to Burkina Faso. And so mission trips are a tremendous way to get a hands-on experience, and they wasn't just a tour, wasn't just vacation, but they did a vacation Bible school in another language, which was really, really interesting for them. They got to do a lot of different things. I think that's really, really good experience. Also, correspondence with a missionary. There was a young fellow out of this church that corresponded with me for a long, long time, just all the time. We corresponded back and forth, so I think of things like that really help some to get interested in missions and have personal acquaintances with missionaries. It's not something way out there, but it brings it right to their door, right to their home. We actually have orientation. We have an annual conference, but we also have an orientation that where all the missionaries come, we do the training, and we've actually had people even come and sit in. They really weren't surrendered to missions. Some of them have never gone to the mission field, but they can come and sit in. They can eat with the missionaries, take the classes with the missionaries, and it opens their eyes to a lot of things. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be called to be a missionary, but I think it helps them in their local church, their faith promise, just to be active in the mission program here at your church. So they're anyone's welcome to come.
I've always had this question about if I went to a field or if one of our folks went to a field, to make sure that they were a blessing to those folks on that field. How do you have some guidelines on that? I mean, you've worked with the missionaries.
Well, what we did and what we try to do is, especially if there's a group that's going to go out, we have a little orientation that we do. We talk about things you don't do on the mission field because of them of American going to that country and offending them right out of the gate because they don't look at age. Well, you're young, you just don't know. Boy, they look at you as an American no matter what. So we have an orientation. You also, when you go, you want to pay your way. You don't want to be a financial burden to them, so you want to make sure that when you go, you have enough to take care of you while you're there. And if you're able to leave something when you leave, you can do that too. So we have an orientation. We also try to plan ahead to make sure when we go that we just don't show up, that we have some things in play, that when we get there, there's a schedule, there's things that they're going to be able to do. So while we were there, we even had, we've taken a couple of groups over there to Burkina Faso. We would have classes during the day while we were there, different things like the will of God, how do you know the will of God, those kind of things that we were doing as well as the Vacation Bible School in preparation for that. So financially, you want to make sure you don't be a burden. You want to have some kind of a schedule and have an orientation before you ever go. And that way, you don't make a lot of mistakes. Because we found that there are times that people have gone to the mission field, and when they left, they hurt the work more than they helped the work by things that they did. It hurt the missionary. So we have guidelines, even dress codes and things like that. We want to be sure that we don't do anything that would deter from or detract from his work at all.
Well, I know our love for the Lord is so important in our Christian walk. As a young Christian, I was saved at the age of 13. And probably around the age of 14, I began to understand truly how that it wasn't important about pleasing my peers any longer. As long as I pleased the Lord, that's all that mattered. And God delivered me from peer pressure, because if He accepted me and He was pleased with my actions, then I was at peace with God. And of course, when you love the Lord, you're going to love what the Lord loves. And of course, you're going to love missionaries. You're going to love the spreading of the gospel, whether it be at home or abroad. You're going to be active serving in the church. And then as the Lord begins to deal with your heart and burden your heart, you just want to pray and be sure that you're following the Lord's direction, the Lord's leadership. And I, in my heart, I felt like the Lord would have us to go to the mission field. But I began to pray because I knew the Lord had to do a work in my wife's heart. And that may be a little bit of her testimony, and I'll not get into that.
Brother Jason, excuse me.
Wait, yes, sir.
the work that you're doing in the church 2 hours away, talk a little bit about where that's at, how you're working to get that church built, because it is 2 hours away from home. That sounds tough to me.
It is. It's been a long road home because it's a 60-year-old church. It's been there 60 years. And a lot of the folks in it were, they're older folks that are set in their ways a little bit. And I'm not there to change them. That's not my goal. My goal is the scripture to, help them. And so it's a lot of teaching when I go, encouragement. Because that was the first thing that I got there. They were ready to shut the doors and close doors, and the city would have no light. In fact, we have Indian reservations around it. We have a guy who rides a train to come to our church. Comes to that church there in Latuque. He rides a train an hour and a half to come to church on Thursday night. Wow. And he stays in town with a friend of his, and then he heads back home, back to the Indian reservation at Waymantashi. And so his name is Dona. But that's the type of thing. So we're seeing growth just by, I just believe with all my heart, just loving them, loving the people and teaching them the Word of God, and they're just hungry for the Word. They've been without a pastor. They haven't had any kind of pastor for 20 years. It is. It is. We've been. Yes, sir. But we also, that was, I'm glad you brought that up. I brought another thing. One thing we have been able to do is go up. We have a little camper, a little travel trailer, and we'll park it behind the church, and we'll spend 3 or 4 days up there during the summertime or during times I can and visit. And we're planning distributions. We've done Christmas, like a Christmas program. We actually, our church had put on a Christmas program last year, and we took the whole group that was all part of that and did that Christmas program for them at that church, and they invited a whole bunch of people. And so that has been exciting because we've seen people come in, and the church has been growing since then. We have an average of 20 people now. When I went, it was about 10 when I first started. But God's just doing it. So that's one thing I know is I'm only there twice a month. I know it ain't us. You know, it's the Lord doing the work. It's exciting to see them get excited. And they felt alone. They felt like they're the only ones on the planet. And they didn't think anybody cared for them or loved them or wanted to help them. But now they know better. So it just put a fire. Oh, that's about 80 miles, 70 miles. It's about 70 or 80 miles up to, and it's just a winding road along the river. And so there's in the wintertime, really pray for me on that, because I do a lot of it in the wintertime. And we're 6 months out of the winter, and it's just snow, and you can't see the road. I mean, it's just white. The road's white, and there's a river there and a mountain on this side. So you don't have much room for error. And we've driven through there. Some of our church guys will go up with me every once in a while, and they'll drive, because I'm a southerner. And they're like, Pastor, you just don't need to drive that Giel drive for me. And boom, and I'm like, but you slow down. He just kept me. He's just talking to me, and I'm down through there, following the logging trucks, they all up and down through there. So it's a very dangerous road. But God's watched over us thus far, and they have moose. We eat a lot. They're hunters up there, moose hunters, and so love moose. Amen.